Champions are champions because they master the art of getting back up. Now, no matter what you do or how much you prepare, at some point in your life, you are gonna get knocked down. But see, for the legends, champions, warriors, and for the overcomers, no obstacle, no trial, no tribulation, no situation is strong enough to keep them there. Let them all see that champion inside of you. Warrior, legend, show them what a champion looks like. Welcome back. Do we have something for you today? Do you ever wonder what it feels like to be a champion, become a legend in this league? Well, let's ask. Few, we think, cemented themselves in the conversation of the BBL final history.
We got Zaire Taylor in the house via Worthen. Former Leicester Ryder and Cup champion in 2013. We got TJ Walker via California, former Newcastle Eagle legend and Cup champion and MVP in 2006. We got Steve D'Agostino via New York, former Sheffield Shark legend and Cup champion and MVP in 2011. And we got Jay Cousnard in the house via Dubai, former Leicester Ryder and Cup champion and MVP in 2013. I know this was a little while back, but let's rewind back to this day. What was it like arriving to the NIA on game day?
To be honest with you, getting ready for the game was, it wasn't a new experience for me, but it was an experience that I had to do all over again in my life. It was my first time in years being in this situation. And the reality was that I take things so lightheartedly that everything I could do, anything I do, could be misconstrued as not taking the game serious. But the reality is there's nothing you could do on your way to the game, before the game, in your layup line that's going to make you a better player. All that happened the weeks before, the years before, and everything so on and so forth. And that's the way I approach every game. But for some reason, when it's a final, you forget that. And it just eats at you. You're like, oh, my goodness, did I tie my shoe right? Did I do this? Oh, did I do this right? Did I do this wrong? Did I leave my door unlocked? You start thinking about things that have nothing to do with basketball. And you just forget to relax. And my first few finals in this league, I didn't have great ones. Great, I had some great teammates, and they helped me get some championships. But it's honestly a feeling that you just got to relax and know that you are who you are. You're here for a reason. Everything you did up to this point got you here. Do what you've been doing and you'll win this game. And if you don't, you'll be able to sleep at night knowing you tried.
You know what? It was a focus. You know, you've been in Fab's camp. And we were locked in. It was a simple thing is we had a chip on our shoulder for everything. You know, we used to find reason to have a chip on our shoulder. So we went to the arena like that. And it was, we knew that was a goal of ours. We had just won the playoff championship and a trophy the year before. We brought everybody back. You know, I think we swapped out Frank Bennett for John Bryant. And we knew what our goals were, and that was the thing. Our plan was to go win everything that year. And that's always, we always said, you know, me and Fab is real close. So the cup is always the hardest one because, you know, you can mess up early in the year because you're just not vibing right as a team and get slipped out of the cup. And that year just all worked out. So when we got there, it was about business. Simple as that.
Man, there's no better feeling, right, to have the opportunity to play for a championship. You know, all the teams are looking forward to. Obviously, you know, you have the end of the year finals, but that midseason where the season can kind of drag on, but you get right in the middle and you have something really legitimate to play for. So just everybody's hyped up, and also the crowd, right? It's just, you know, it's going to be packed out there in Birmingham, and it was, and you're just ready to roll. I mean, you're ready to roll the day before the game. So I'm just trying to calm your nerves before you get into the big game.
Oh man, it was different because I remember playing in the league games. The only like big time experience you got so far was Newcastle, was a lot of fans and everything. So coming to the NIA, getting off the bus was just different. You know what I mean? You had cameras in front of you and everybody recording you, and have some fans outside rooting for you walking in the building. So that was different, but it was just, the vibe was so nice. The vibe was so nice. Everyone was focused. Like, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. You know what I mean? Everyone was focused. We still had our little groups where we talking and laughing and joking and everything, but the focus was there and you could feel it. Like, you could just feel the energy, man. It was nice. It was nice.
So talk us through what you remember about the game itself.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, I actually got to actually think about this game because I'm remembering a few little moments and all this stuff. So, oh, man, Drew ain't going to like this. Obviously, he wasn't there, but, you know, those are his boys. And so, my first final, I think, was the beginning of a changing of the guard, I think, where Leicester finally staked their claim as the top dog, or if not one of the top dogs. And they had, that year, they signed me, John Fraley, Jake Cousinard, and we were all new to the league. And we were young. We were young, dumb, arrogant. we were all of the above, but in the best way possible. And I think that was what was needed. There's times after that year, I wish I was that same young, dumb guy that didn't respect Charles Smith the way I did after, because maybe it was that made me get the W. And all I remember is Fab Fanoy, a legend, complaining about a call to the ref during the game. And me, like, and the thing is, I wouldn't have did this in my later years, and just talking to him, like he was just some rookie or some, like, and a little disrespectful. And out of line, to be honest, when I look back, like, who was I? What did I do? But I do believe that energy is what got us over the hump. And in that moment, it's, you don't got time to, you know, it's almost like Rick Ross says, like, well, your idols become your rivals. So, like, he did things that are capable of making him an idol. But in this moment, you're a rival. And I do remember, actually, I think I hit the game winner, I think, in that game. So, yeah, that was, I hit a big shot. That was one of the few that I made. Because my first few championships weren't my best performances as an individual. Well, the ones I won, actually. But, yeah, I roasted. But I did stand up to my name as big shot and hit a big shot.
Obviously, we had just been in Birmingham in May. So, you know, we had that same, we knew how it felt there. For myself, I had got an opportunity to play in a trophy final my rookie year. You know, Chester smacked us. That was a good situation. And but just being part of that, being able to go through all that, those different vibes, because, you know, back then, we were probably the only team that played in an arena, you know what I mean? And we went to small gyms everywhere. So we were kind of used to that. But now you're having, this is before, you know, the Telly West or Metro Radio Arena was having 7,000 strong, you know what I mean? You know, this was that same year where all that stuff was happening. So we get to the arena and it's go time, you know? So that whole day was really about us locking in and trying to take care of business. This was the first one of our goal. For me, honestly, I was lucky that year. I had three killers on my team. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, they got buckets all day, which is, you know, Charles Smith, Jeremy Hyatt, and Andrew Sullivan. And my job, honestly, was to, first 6-7 minutes of the game, was to figure out who was rolling. You know what I mean? If one of them was rolling, good. If I had two of them rolling, you're probably going to get a 20-piece. That's just what it is. So with that, for me, that day when I got to Birmingham, I was honestly thinking that this was going to be my last year. And my goal for myself was to win everything that I could in the BBL. And this was one of the ones that I haven't won yet. And so I went in with a different mindset. I was like, you know what? I need 40 minutes of all out. Just let it happen. And the chips fell where they fell.
Yeah, a handful of things. So, like, number one, I just remember being in bed the night before and, like, thinking about the game. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be great if we just, like, came out and we're up by, like, 20 at halftime? Like, that was – and you're like, yo, it's never going to happen, whatever. And then, you know, cut to going and getting to the arena and just doing shoot around and just looking around and just seeing all the people, the big arena, the space. You know, you start getting those nerves. You know, we kind of touched on it before we kind of, you know, went going here. But just having Patton in the backcourt, having Tuck with us, having Anderson there with us, like, these guys all had won the cup the previous year, so they gave us that calming feeling. Atiba as well, like, that calming feel of like, yo, it's a big game, but we got to play loose, we got to be ready to go from the tip. So that was kind of the vibe. I don't think anybody was really nervous. I think we were all just kind of anxious to throw the ball up in the air and start playing.
Every time we played Newcastle, it was the intensity was there. So about that game, I remember my main thing about playing is, listen, you're going to be up 10 points or you might be down 10 points. So it's to keep playing all the way through. So with that mindset, we fought so hard that game, up and down. You know, Drew know as well. So mostly I can remember it just being calm and patient during those tough moments. Even when they took the lead, like late in the fourth, I remember Coach called a timeout. You would think a normal coach would come out and be yelling and, you know what I mean, trying to scratch up something to write on the board, telling us what we do. But Coach Rob was cool. He just always comes like, all right, we're all right, guys. We just got to get one back. We got to get one back. Let's do this to stop the next possession, or this is how we're going to score, you know what I mean? So the comfort was there. The intensity was there, but the poise on our team and the resilience on our team was just phenomenal. We were great at that for some reason. I think games that led up to it throughout the season built us that way. But I don't know, it just, the electricity of the game, you feel like you're supposed to be there. Like, for my mindset, I'm like, yes, this is what I'm playing professional basketball for. You know what I mean? Like, I was really in the moment, and I'm pretty sure ZT could tell you this, Zaire or Drew or Jamel, Roe, everybody. It's when you're in that moment, you like, yo, I'm about to shoot the ball. I want the shot. You run the play for me, coach. You know what I mean? You run it. And I think we had like four or five guys on the team who felt that way. Even Connor coming off the bench. He like, I want the ball. So I'm going on a tangent, but yeah, that's one of my one of the things I can remember from that game, is just wanting to win and wanting to be successful, offensively or defensively, wanting to come out with the W. That was our main focus, and by any means, and that's what we did.
The buzzer sounds off, and you're a champion. Walk us through those emotions.
Hold up. You want the truth?
Yep.
Keep it 100, baby.
All right. First championship. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I don't get as excited about championships as I do get devastated about losses, all right? So when that game was established, this is going to make me sound like a jerk, but there was a girl in like the fifth row, and I was like, when this game's over, I'm going to talk to her, and we better win so I can go talk to her. Because if I lose, then I'm going to be whatever people decide to call me in this moment, trying to talk to a girl after losing a championship. And when we won, I remember everybody celebrating, jumping up and down. Everybody's ecstatic. And there was actually like a picture of me walking away, like walking to her direction. And we exchanged information, became friends.
Honestly, Drew, we had so many goals for that year, we didn't even celebrate. We knew what we was there to do, and that was just a piece. That was the first step. You know what I mean? It felt good. Honestly, I don't even remember thinking during the game that I had the game that I had until I saw the numbers after the fact. It was just about, we need to get this done. this might be my last time here. So I remember that. I remember the cup, the trophy. There was no celebration. You know, we weren't done yet. You know, we know what we had set out to do. Yeah, we, you know how we do. You know how we do. We got on the bus and did what we did. But it was a part of the goal. You know what I mean? So that's what it was.
So the buzzer sounds off, and now you're a champion. Just walk us through those emotions.
Man, I was hyped. I was like so hyped too. I've never like, you know, shaken up the champagne bottle and sprayed it around. And my wife had actually flown in that day. So like she just got in that day, drove up to the arena and stuff. And just to have her there, you know, to watch it and then to celebrate after. I mean, just, and you're just, you know, you work so hard. You guys know this. You pour your emotions into every day, whether it's the off season training, whether it's practice, whether it's every single game, you know, you don't always get a payoff. You know, sometimes you put in a lot of work and you put energy and effort in and you guys have an okay season, but you know, to win a championship is something special. And it's even now like 10 years later and you sit back and you can still feel it. Right. You watch the highlights or you talk to somebody about it and you can still, you know, I'm smiling right now just thinking about it because it was such a great memory. So to go through that with a great club, an organization like Sheffield is and guys that put in the work with you, there's no better feeling.
I didn't know what to do. You know, I believe Cabo had a celebration already planned. He went and jumped on a thing and went up to the crowd. Me, that's actually my first championship really ever. That was actually my first time winning the championship ever. So I actually didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to celebrate. But the thing is, we celebrated so much and so with so much passion. After the first 15 minutes, you're like, yo, I'm tired. You get more. You get that. Once the adrenaline comes down, you're like, yo, when are we going to the locker room? Because I'm tired. I'm ready to lay down. Your body start aching from the tough game and everything. But, oh, man, the moment was special. Winning my first championship in my mind, a huge championship. First year rookie. First time able to win something. First time in a long time for Leicester to win. And coming in, that's all they used to talk about. I remember when I first came to Leicester, even on the phone when they were recruiting me, what's his name? I forget his name, slipped my mind. But, oh man, they were talking about silverware. You know, coming from the States, we like silverware. We about to eat dinner or something. You know, I mean, we didn't know that that's what the trophies were called. You know what I mean? They always just not pressure, but hey, are we winning silverware this year? Are we winning silverware this year? Because they were getting so close from dealing with Rob for the past few seasons. You know, they almost got it the year before. So, the only thing they talked about was silverware. And in my mindset, I was like, yeah, of course he's going to win. You know what I mean? Of course, just being overconfident. So to finally get to that moment, to finally hear the horn go off when you guys came back and, like, we looking like, oh, man, how do we let them come back? And then we finally get the shot and to hear that horn go off, I feel like you just go numb. You know what I mean? You just hollow and you're trying to search and find what to do. For me, that was my experience. You're trying to search and find who to congratulate, who to celebrate with, because everybody played a part. You know what I mean? Everybody want to come to you, to me, because I had a decent game, and I'm wanting to go to everybody. So it's a lot of commotion, confusing, but pure happiness, pure joy, calling my family, calling my mom and dad, just like first time ever winning anything. First time ever. Hey, Drew, I'm going back to AAU, Great American Shootout. We used to always get put out in the bronze bracket, lose the first game every time. Inner city youth, you know what I mean? Third ward team, you already know. So first time ever winning something, you know what I mean? So it's like all of the hard work paid off. And I also told my brother, I used to get mad at people on ESPN and everything. When they win, they cry. I used to tell my brother, man, why they crying when they win? You supposed to be happy. Like, those are tears of joy and everything. I'm like, bro, I would never cry if I win a championship, you know what I mean? I was close, but no, I didn't cry though. I didn't cry because I remember the words I told to my brother. I'm like, nah, I'd never cry, so I ain't shitting it. Good, man. Joyful.
I like it. So what was next following a cup win?
Well, we celebrated. We went to one of the Mercure Hotel. We went there and celebrated and enjoyed the win. And other than that, it was just, it was regularly scheduled programming because I never won a title in season. I played in Highland before this and I lost in the championship of the cup. So I never won a title where you get that feeling and that joy of being a champion. And then you have to go practice tomorrow. We all know Rob Pattenasio will get cursed out by your coach who don't give a damn about your championship.
He wants more.
Yeah, and it's like, so that was a new feeling, but a needed feeling. We wouldn't have been the team it was if we didn't have him and we didn't go through those things. So for Americans especially, it is so weird to be named champion and go to practice 2 days later.
Love it.
100% facts.
I do, because I don't know what happened, but the BBL set our schedule where we were on the road for like 8-9 games straight. You know what I mean? And we got lucky one road trip. I think we played Brighton and then we played London. I love Paul Blake, but we don't stay at night nowhere. You come home and then you go back. We was winning. I guess he chose to let us stay tonight. We played Brighton. We had to play London the very next night. And this was like at the end of how many straight games on the road. And we had won them all. And the London game, if I'm not mistaken, was the last of that road trip. And it was just crazy. We just ran through the situation at that time. We're just locked in at that point. You know what I mean? Like I said, we brought everybody back. We figured out what we needed to do. Everybody knew the role. There was no egos, so it was easy. It was real easy. So it was just lock in to our next goal. We went from the cup, we get back in the league. Let's go get the trophy now and go from there.
Right, man. I to be honest, I can't remember. I would assume that we were partying a little bit and soaking up that win. But I honestly can't remember. You know, it's 10 years ago right now. If I went back and looked at like the box scores, I could tell you every single game, like all the different things that happened. But to be honest, like I remember the beginning of the season. I remember like some of the stuff we went through right after the holiday when we got to go home and then came back and we started off a little rough. You know, I remember obviously the cup, that's the big thing that stands out. And then that second half of the season, I couldn't tell you what happened until, you know, we were in the playoffs again. So, you know, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
If you look at the interviews of after the game, I said they're doing an interview. I think a few days before, my biggest pain, I've never done this, as you know, I've lost a lot of my career, not in a bad way, but I lost a lot of games. I've always wanted to go undefeated. I've always wanted a year to go undefeated. And I think during that time of 2000, and I think there's 12, 13, there were these college teams that kept going 30-1, Wichita State or Kentucky would go 32-1. And everybody was on the brink of going undefeated, but nobody could be undefeated. And I remember looking at our team like, yo, we seen most of the teams in the league. Like, we knew Clement was tough. I think you guys had Jeremy Bell, you had Drew, you had Schneck or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
Yeah, Colin Wiley.
Yeah, I don't know if I had D-Rob yet. Did y'all have D-Rob that first year?
No, not that year. Not that year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But side note, Donald is the hardest person I've the second hardest person I ever had to guard in my life. I told him that like 2 years ago. Then he happened to come out here in Dubai and he gave us 40 the last time we played him in the playoffs. He's the second hardest guy I've ever had to guard in my life. I DM'd him and told him that. But anyway, we looked at all the teams. We measured up all the teams and we knew Newcastle was tough. We felt like we had an edge on Newcastle just like they were always banged up. Like everybody was always hurt when we played them or something like that. But we also felt like Coach Rob had us right. So my thing was, man, I want to go undefeated. And Surrey got us. I know I'm not going to pronounce it right, but Surrey nipped us like on our way. And I remember in the locker room, Drew and them were like, come on, man, it's a long season. Y'all pick y'all heads up. That's only one game. We're like 9-1. We're doing good in the cup and everything. That's one game. Get dressed. Let's go back home and get ready for the next game. But me and Zy was in a locker room, like soaking, like, bro, we just lost the game. I wanted to go undefeated because that's all me and Zy was talking about. bro, we could go undefeated. We got a loaded team. And, you know, Fraley got hurt, but they brought in Rowe. Like, bro, we really could go undefeated. Look at all the teams we played. Look who we got. We were just thinking about undefeated. And Surrey got us. So I remember after the Cup game, I believe we played Surrey next. So as soon as we hit the locker room, everybody was like, yo, Surrey is next. Surrey, and our confidence, after that, our confidence was just so high. We was like, yo, it's time for Surrey next. And we were just so focused and ready to get on Surrey. And I think the next few practices, we did a lot of interviews and everything before practice. And congratulations on the Cup, and went to BBC or something like that, did the interviews. But from that moment on, practice after that, it was like a mission. You know what I mean? It wasn't like happy, joyful, cruising, Kool-Aid, as we say in Texas. We weren't ready to Kool-Aid or nothing. We were like, nah, we on a mission now. We got to get our win back, and we got to get it times 10. Like, that was our mindset. And I don't know if they played us at home, or I think it was at home next, and we smacked them. We smacked them real bad.
That's a wrap for our coverage of the road to the BBL Cup Finals. Be sure to check out Sky Sports and the Sky Sports YouTube page for live coverage from the Morningside Arena in Leicester, Sunday starting at 3 p.m. Eagles, Lions, the BBL Cup Finals.
2021 BBL Cup Finals. May the best man win.
May the best man win.
BBL Cup Finals. May the best man win.
May the best man win.